The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
Hello, and welcome to Let's Talk Midlife Crisis with your hosts,
Ashley
and Tracy. And today we're going to talk about midlife hacks, tips, and tricks during midlife. A couple things that I thought I would start with, or something that I thought I would start with, and I thought this was very empowering, was that we cannot feel unhappy and thankful at the same time.
Oh.
So you kind of got to pick and choose on that one. But of course you want to pick.
Yeah. I mean, who wants to be unhappy?
Right. Yeah. So the thing is to be, focus on gratitude, right?
Okay. So if you're unhappy, focus on things you're grateful for.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Because gratitude and worry, you can increase your happiness by 25%. Just by thinking about things that you're grateful for versus dwelling on things that you're not.
Wow.
And that,
yeah,
make you feel unhappy, which is, but I also think that that's partly trained. Like, it's not easy to do it. It's a cognizance awake thing that you have to instill.
Yeah, there's, it's funny. My fiance's aunt was here this past week, and her mom lives in an assisted living home, and they have a very unique relationship. The dynamic is interesting. Her mom's very critical about her, and she says things about herself that makes me feel bad, because it's like, like I said before, if you're told something so much, you start to believe it.
Right. I was going to say her beliefs. So her mom instilled these beliefs in her.
And so it just like,
that are negative.
It breaks my heart. But, she was telling me some stories about her mom. And she said, she's just the cup is half empty.
Right.
Type of gal.
Right.
Right. And I was going to say, I think some people, it comes a lot more naturally for them to be grateful and a cup half full type of person,
Absolutely.
Whether or not that's natural or they trained themselves that way, I don't know.
Or maybe a combination of both.
Yeah.
Because my last boyfriend was very negative. Negative. And then when you think about it, and at first, it was, I personally thought of it, my belief was we balanced each other out.
Oh.
Right? Because he was so negative, and I tended to be so positive. Mm-hmm. Exactly what you said. Glass half empty, glass half full.
Right.
But after 10 years...
Oh, gosh.
I realized that he was really dragging me down.
Yeah.
But there really is something to that. But I try to train my thoughts to... Because you have like thousands and thousands of thoughts per second, right?
Right.
So it's what you pull from that and, attach yourself to, which it's just always been said that it's so much easier to, attach yourself to the negative beliefs and thoughts and words that you hear than to the positive. But I've always been, glass half full kind of person.
Yeah.
And
you definitely have.
Had to. End that relationship,
and
too.
I think too. This is a practice that my fiance and I have used with my kids, because they get in moments of being overwhelmed with life and adulting and all of that, and worry. They're worry
right.
warts.
Right.
And think about the thing that you're worrying about. First of all, is it something you can change?
Right.
Can you make that, whatever it is, better? And if not,
then to accept
it. Think about whether or not you're going to really care about that thing in 6 months or 6 years. Right now, you're really upset about it, but will you be in 6 months?
Right.
Is it really that big a deal?
Right.
You know? So I think that's another way to kind of deal with stress or
I like that.
Things that make you unhappy. Yeah, definitely think about things you're grateful for, but remind yourself, does it really matter that much to me?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And will it matter that much to me in the future?
Exactly.
To waste my energy and, you know, emotions mm-hmm. and time on it. I love that. Love that. So I've been doing a lot of research on hacks and tips and tricks and, you know, just kind of simple things, because I feel like in today's society as well, we're looking for that quick fix, right? Like, oh, just tell me something really quick. And, you know, I mean, you
could do instant satisfaction.
Exactly. Exactly. But, and I seem to find the same things over and over and over again for midlife, right? So three ways to de-stress is to drink holy basil tea, also called Tulsi tea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it increases physical and mental endurance.
Mm-hmm.
It has so many benefits.
That was something Allison
brought up. It's something that Allison
brought up. When
she
joined us.
Which is funny because
she swore by it. That
yes.
was one of her...
Yes.
The two things that she could keep, that if she could only have two.
Exactly. I'm like, narrow it down, you know, if I just had two things. Well, I said one, but she's like, no, I need two. I'm like, okay, two. But sometimes it's hard in the world where there's so many choices to narrow it down. But we've also had a lot of listeners reach out to us and say that they have since ordered their products.
Oh, good.
Good. Since listening to those previous episodes.
That's great.
And one listener, a good friend of ours, Law, she said she was Googling as we were talking about these, you know, different remedies and what they're good for and stuff. And immediately was, you know, adding things to her shopping bag for Amazon. So she's ordered them. And
that's great.
We'll definitely come back with
her results.
Her results or other people's results.
We'll have to have her on as a guest to let us know her experience.
She'll have to come back as a guest.
Yeah.
And also, if you have, you know, hacks and tips and tricks that have helped you through midlife, please share them with us, you know, at Let's Talk Midlife Crisis on Instagram or Let's Talk Midlife Crisis website or Facebook accounts. So we definitely want to hear those. So three ways to de-stress is to drink holy basil tea. Also breath work, which I've used breath work through work because I used to present to clients in a very competitive atmosphere. And we would go in, it would be like agencies pitching an account.
Right.
So it'd be like one after the other after the other. So oftentimes you're sitting outside and you can kind of hear what's going on in this conference room, what the previous agency is, you know, pitching. But, and as a way to de-stress, my old boss taught me about breathing techniques. And basically it's just, you know, inhaling through your nose, slowly, through the count of four, and exhaling again through the count of four, and continuing to do that two or three times. And it does tend to help you de-stress a little bit. I have found that going into those
meetings. Yeah, I think especially if you're, you know, you're breathing at a fast pace and don't realize it and your heart's racing.
Exactly.
And, I've mentioned before a couple of my kids deal with some anxiety and they've, you know, through high school and shortly after, it was really tough for them and figuring out what worked for them to calm themselves down. But one of the things was breathing.
Yeah.
Just as an example, my son one day was at work and the whole internet went down. So they had no way to take people's money. Who carries cash anymore, right?
Right. It's so funny that now, the difference is now, like when the internet crashes, everybody's world
stops. So, you know, they had a line, it was an ice cream shop. They had a line of people with ice cream that was, you know, melting that they wanted to pay for. But they all had debit cards and there was no way to take their money. And of course, you know, they're getting irritated and he's freaking out. Like, I don't know what to do. And literally had to walk into, they had like a little janitor's closet. He had to walk in there, shut the door and just do his breathing exercise. Yeah. And then he said, I was fine. I walked back out. I handled it, you know. So that's just an example. Right. But yeah, it does.
Definitely it really,
really, it's really right. effective.
And they say that it's also effective in lowering blood pressure. But because I've suffered from such high, extreme high blood pressure for so many years, decades, I'm not going to stop taking my blood pressure medicine. However, I think that it's a good coping, you know, a mechanism to use to de-stress. But again, don't, you know, necessarily stop taking medication, but it also is supposedly good for lowering blood pressure. And I could see how that would be.
Yeah, because it calms your heart. And yeah, absolutely.
And then, of course, go out for a walk.
Yes. You know, sunshine.
Yeah. Stress hormones are greatly reduced with just a 20-minute walk. So it doesn't even have to be, you know, a long walk. It could be if you work from home or even if you work from an office, maybe, you know, just in the weather is nice, just go out and take a walk. If you have the ability to do so and you're stressed, please, you know, take a walk. I know that in my younger self, I would take walks more often than I do now. I just remember being so upset and like being ready to explode and I would just bolt out the door.
Yeah.
And just go for a long walk. But I don't seem to do that as much anymore for whatever reason. But I know that at that time it worked and I probably should implement that more.
Right.
Into
And that's also good for, you know, cardio health. Just, you know, moving around.
Right. So. And that's huge. And through all the research, like I said, it just seems like three things keep coming back up when it comes to midlife. You know, it's diet.
Yes.
You know, exercise. You know, and movement and what you intake, of course, which part of diet, but, and your movement. So, I do think it's very important. And even if you didn't practice it a lot before, you know, maybe it's something that you can implement now. And easy things for me would even be like to go check the mail.
Right.
Because I work from home, maybe at lunch.
Get outside.
Yeah, get outside and just take a walk and check the mail. Or it could be something as simple as that. You know, if it's in your neighborhood and you have a pet, take your pet out for a walk.
Right.
You know, those types of things. Or even in the city, you can always take your pet for a walk. And that gets your cardio, right, which is the exercise. And also, you know, getting into nature. I guess even if you live in a big city, being outside is still in some respect.
You'll still see trees and, you know,
getting
things
into
like
nature.
That. So, yeah, absolutely.
So now this one I thought was interesting and I'm just in the middle of trying it. So you'll have to try it and let us know if it works for you. But apparently an avocado, the pit of an avocado, which I think most people have always thrown away.
Oh, yeah.
Is very, very useful for pain and inflammatory joints, all kinds of things like that. So
you don't eat it, do you?
No, well, you don't eat it. When you basically, hopefully, you'll use the avocado for something if you're making a dip or what have you, guacamole. But you cut the avocado in half and you take out the pit and then you slice up that pit.
Oh.
And then you put those slices into a spray bottle and fill that with alcohol, about 75% alcohol base. So alcohol, to cover enough to cover the pits, the avocado pits. And that's it. And then spray it on yourself wherever. If it's lately my hands have been, my joints and my hands and my thumbs.
Really?
Like I have a hard time grabbing drinks and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and gripping. And when I last saw my PC, he's like, well, you know, let's talk about it next time you come in and maybe I'll give you some shots, right? But so I think in between now and then, I'm going to try this remedy. But basically, you just spray it on and you rub it.
Okay.
And then give it about a week to see the,
I mean, it sounds like it's like a hand sanitizer, you know, with the alcohol that's in it.
But there's something about that avocado pit. And I think it's most used for knees. I think maybe because a lot of people have knee injuries or what have you, that even if you've had surgery, I truly believe that they never heal. It's never the same. But that was something that was interesting to me about pain and joints and inflammation. Mm-hmm. And I'm, like I said, I'm in the middle of trying it, so I'll report back the results. And again, I can't say it enough how much we would love to hear your hacks and tips and tricks for things that you use or have used or have heard of that you would like to test. Maybe mm-hmm. we could be your
guinea pigs.
Or testers. Yeah. the focus group for your
there we go.
Yeah, for I knew there was a word I was looking for. three mimosas later, I found it. But for your focus groups.
Right.
You know, and what works and what doesn't work. But we definitely want to hear, so reach out to us on social at Let's Talk Midlife Crisis. And also, this is something that I've used many years ago. Mm-hmm. Wild yam cream.
Oh, yes. You told me about mm-hmm. this.
And I know that we've talked about it before, but basically you can find it. And there's a plethora of products out there.
Okay.
And I honestly don't think one is perhaps, you know, better than another.
Right.
I personally like to look at reviews.
Mm-hmm. I'm the same way.
I feel so bad when I say that. I have such regret because I don't always give reviews, but I use them
But
often.
I rely on them. Yes,
I rely on them when making purchasing decisions. But yeah, look at some wild yam cream and put it on twice a day, morning and night, maybe on your thigh or, you know, under your arm, above your elbow, mm-hmm. a fatty part of your body. And do that for 3 weeks and then off for a week and then repeat. But it's very good for, it's a natural alternative to estrogen replacement therapy.
Interesting.
And menopause. Hmm. However, if you're perimenopausal, mm-hmm. It's also good for PMS tension and heavy periods.
Oh.
Yeah. So as well as painful periods and depression.
Wow.
And thyroids. But again, not everything works for everyone. Mm-hmm. So you kind of got to maybe just try things to see what works for you, what doesn't work for you, and those types of things. But yeah, definitely recommend trying wild yam cream if you're suffering heavy PMS or, you know, perimenopausal, excuse me, etc. Also, one of our mutual friends is going through a session right now of
acupuncture.
So we were talking about that very recently, and she's been doing this for, I would say, just over a month.
I was going to say, I think it's been a month.
Just over a month. So, you know, she's went through a couple cycles, and she actually seems to feel that it has increased, a lot of things. So not the hopefulness that she was looking for.
Right.
You know, but, you know, her periods are longer and harder and different things. But again, everybody's different and reacts differently. And we also had talked about Reiki, which is something that we'll get into a little bit further on. But I think that that's another alternative and maybe a holistic way.
Right.
To approaching things that are coming up in your midlife, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And then foods to eat to sleep better. Because I know that, you know, going through midlife and especially through perimenopause or menopause, and Lord knows with hot flashes.
Oh, they're killing me lately.
Yeah.
Oh.
Excuse me. If you think you're not sleeping well now and wait till you get to the hot flash stage And for me, it was so hot, and I'd throw the blankets off, and then I'd get so
freezing cold.
It was just not pleasant.
Yeah. So, those, for me, I didn't start experiencing those until just a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. And it happened, I was getting my hair done the other day, and it happened in the salon, and I...
Did it start from your head?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's
when they start from your head.
And I'm hot to the touch.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Like you're on fire.
And I just was like, I am going to strip down in this salon right now. Yeah. Like I just could feel it radiating from my body. Oh.
Yeah, and at night, brutal. I think it's worse because you don't have the option. Maybe if it's during the day and depending on the climate you live in, maybe you jump in the pool or go jump in the snow mound, right? Like in the winter and spring that everyone is, you know, experiencing all these massive snow amounts, but just go out there and dive. I could see myself doing that, honestly, fully clothed and everything, just going out and just diving into it. But foods that you eat can help
with hot flashes at night?
With better sleep. Okay. Overall, better sleep.
Okay.
And or hot flashes. But I think ultimately better sleep. Because even if you have them, hot flashes, and maybe if they don't wake you up, then that's still a good thing.
Yeah.
But I remember waking up in the morning, even when I didn't wake up at night, and just kind of feeling gross, right?
The sheets got soaked from the sweat. Yes. Yes,
but in the mornings, so one of the little tricks that I like to do, and then we'll get into the foods that you eat to help you sleep better, but one of the things that I would do in the morning is I would take a shower, and I'm ultimately one that takes a very hot shower. Like, I turn it all the way hot and, you know, pretty much go shower until the water, the hot water runs out. But at the very end, if you turn it all the way to cold... It really, it like jump starts your body and your brain and stuff.
It would make me jump out of the shower.
Very much so. I think it's more of a gradual thing, but it definitely is. And it's something that, you know, it's a cognizant thing. Like you have to make yourself stand in there for whatever XYZ amount of time.
I think it's really good for your skin too.
Good for your skin. It's good for your pores. It's good for mental clarity. And it helps, for me, I use it when I feel very, you know, lethargic after I just woke up and still very groggy and maybe, you know, foggy minded, fog brain and stuff. And I turn that ice cold water on, mostly in the wintertime. And we live in Arizona, and in the summer, our water doesn't get that cold.
No, there's no cold water.
But I can imagine if you lived in a colder weather climate, how icy that water can be. But either way, just, you know, having that ice cold water just kind of jolts your body, you know, to, and it helps with so many different things. So I think it's good. But foods to eat to sleep better. We all know about turkey.
Oh, gosh.
Right?
Yes.
Right? The levels of, you know, tryptophan that are in turkey, you know, it makes you so tired after you eat Thanksgiving dinner. But what are, some other foods that include tryptophan? Milk.
Really?
But it's not, I'm not as shocked by that one because.
I mean, people, a lot of people have, warm milk before they go to bed. So, yeah, that makes sense.
Right, right. From the olden days where they didn't have so many different things. And right, like you just had limited stuff and maybe before electricity and they're like, oh, let's warm some milk. But bananas, oats, and chocolate all have high levels of tryptophan that allow you and help you sleep.
Okay.
Which is interesting.
I could handle having chocolate before bed every night.
Right, which is shocking. And of course, you want to stay away from the things that are known to keep you awake.
Yeah.
Right, like... coffee, you know, caffeine, those types of things. They say even smoking. But I think one of the things that's really important, especially in this day and age, are screens.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right? You know, you want to stay away from screens from at least an hour before you go to bed.
Right.
Right? But I thought this was interesting. And I kind of, I'm not, I believe it because I think that this particular food in itself is very healthy, but several health experts recommend consuming peanut butter at night to boost muscular building and normalize blood sugar levels and increase your sleep quality.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it has outstanding nutrient, you know, nutrients in it, and it's a filling snack too.
Yeah,
right.
I mean,
it's on toast or a cracker,
I'll just
eat
a spoonful of peanut butter.
Yeah,
I love peanut butter. Yeah, or with an apple.
But just, you know that it will, on top of it being very healthy for you, right, with the proteins and all that good stuff, it may help you sleep as well.
Right.
So maybe instead of having a cup of coffee, get a spoonful of peanut butter.
I like that.
Right. And also, kiwi. There's a lot of fruits.
Ooh, I like kiwi.
Yeah, kiwi, cherries, fatty fish, nuts, and rice.
Hmm.
Yeah. have all been found to aid in relaxation and sleep. And again, we talked about, you know, caffeine, avoiding caffeine and screens and stuff. But something that is also important to avoid, which mm-hmm. is maybe not as easy as some of the other things, is alcohol.
Oh, yeah.
I think that there's a misperception that if you have been drinking, it helps you sleep.
No.
But it's exactly the opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah. And especially, I think,
so
for
women.
So
how long should I wait after my evening glass of wine to go to bed?
Well, you know, and everybody's different, but I would say probably about an hour
yeah,
or so.
I would think
I think with everything, it's about an hour before you go to bed.
Yeah.
But also, if you are drinking, there are some other hacks that maybe, I don't know, maybe not everybody knows about, but drinking a glass of water and either a Tylenol or an aspirin before you go to bed, too.
Right.
Definitely helps how you feel when you wake up if you've been
Drinking too much. Yeah.
Which is always, you know, I shouldn't say always, but, you know, it's easy to, you know, overindulge in that area. But, yeah, some of these fruits, you know, kiwis and cherries and, you know, fatty fish. So maybe you consciously plan a meal around that.
Right.
And a dessert around that. And then, you know, see how your body reacts to it.
I think, is it bananas that have a lot of magnesium?
Mm.
Magnesium really helps with sleep,
and melatonin. Melatonin. Okay. So bananas provide up to 26% of your daily recommended intake of melatonin. However, the shocking thing about it is those high levels just before bedtime can make it hard for you to fall asleep at night.
Oh, interesting.
So peanut butter, yes. Bananas, no.
Hmm.
All right. I know. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting, huh?
It is interesting.
Yeah. Let's see. What are some other great hacks? You always have to check your vitamin D levels. Vitamin D is so important.
It's huge. Yeah.
And I think because we live in Arizona and it's, you know, 360 out of 365 days of sunshine.
Sunshine.
Actually, this year we've had a lot of rain. I feel like
we've had some overcast
days. So maybe, you know, 350 out of 365 days of sunshine. But I find it funny to think about vitamin D. And I remember going after blood tests and having my PC telling me, you know, oh, you're low in vitamin D. And I was like, almost
that's
a
impossible.
Joke. Right? Like, what? But I think that's also very important to your overall health.
Absolutely.
And, as well as sleeping, which is kind of interesting and that I never knew before. So let's see. Some other good hacks. We can talk, since we're talking about sleep, let's talk about restless leg syndrome relief.
Oh, I've never had that, but
me
I've heard
either.
It's miserable.
Yeah, and I never knew until there was a pharmaceutical ad, right, on television about it. And I'm thinking, what is that? But I actually have a friend that suffers from this. So, Lisa T., this is for you. It's interesting, but what they're saying is you place a bar of Irish Spring body soap. You unwrap it, right? But you put it inside your sheets at the bottom of your bed.
Okay.
At the foot of your bed.
So like your right by your feet.
Yeah, right by your feet, under the sheets and the blankets. But it's supposed to help you with restless leg syndrome.
I wonder why.
I don't know.
That's interesting. Irish Spring soap is pretty strong.
It is pretty strong. I don't know. I wonder if it's the scent because there's so many echinacea you put on your feet, right? There's a lot of things that you do put on your feet. Mm-hmm. And this you don't necessarily put on your feet.
Right.
But you put it by your feet in the bed.
Wow.
So Lisa T., you'll have to try it and
let us know
if it works for you, girl. I don't have it, so I don't know, but I thought it was very interesting. And I think more people have it than I would even think of, right?
Yeah, I don't know if I know anyone that has it, but I've certainly heard of it.
Right.
So
right. And now speaking of your feet and while you're sleeping. This was a funny one, but yet I've heard this hack before about toothpaste. So toothpaste, I think, can be used for a lot of things. Like, I don't want to hear where I heard that
pimples.
From.
Yeah.
I heard that from somewhere. I don't want to divulge where I heard that from. But it's.
I knew that.
Yeah. I didn't until I had that experience. And then I was like, oh. But yeah, you can put it on acne, but toothpaste. But You can actually put it on your feet while you sleep as well.
Huh.
You take 3 tablespoons salt and 1 tablespoon toothpaste. So basically a 3-to-1 ratio. It could mm-hmm. be teaspoons, tablespoons. It doesn't matter. 3-to-1 ratio. And then add 1 teaspoon of coconut oil. You mix it all together.
Okay. Sounds and like then a scrub.
It is kind of a scrub. Yeah. And you put it on your feet. And then, you know, you can put your socks on or whatever
mm-hmm.
to keep it from, you know, messing up your whole bed at night. But it's supposed to, especially that dry cracking
yeah.
that you get yeah. around your feet. I have been lucky, and I'm knocking on wood. That I've never had that on my feet.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to be very, very good for that. And like instant
gratification. I could never
gratification.
Do it. I could never do it. I can't sleep with socks on.
I knew that's where you were going. I can only in the wintertime. In the summer, I can't so much.
I can't ever.
No, ever?
I just can't. Yeah. No.
Well, and then maybe if you can't sleep with socks on, maybe it's something that you do before you go to bed.
Yeah.
Or in the morning or on the weekend and just leave it on for about an hour or so.
And, yeah.
I would say until it starts to dry out, right? Mm-hmm. And then you could perhaps shower,
rinse
you know,
them off, yeah.
Shower, rinse, repeat.
Remember, yeah, right.
Remember the shampoo when it used to say that? Does anybody even look at those directions anymore? Lather, rinse, repeat. Phoebe from Friends did a song on that.
Yes.
Lather, rinse, repeat. Okay, so anxiety. Let's talk about anxiety for a moment. I think it's almost impossible to get through midlife without any some kind of anxiety, right? And I thought, okay, so I'm going to talk about this one first. So anxiety, we have actually tried this. We've actually tried this, but magic mushrooms are like the newest trend in
microdosing. Yes.
With magic mushrooms for anxiety, I personally didn't feel any difference or any change.
I would say I felt
something?
Calming sensation.
Okay.
It was nothing crazy, you know,
but again, it's microdosing and I'm doing air quotes on that. But magic mushrooms are very much a part of modern day healing now, as opposed to where it used to be just considered a drug and a psychedelic and yada yada. I was so surprised.
With microdosing, it's very small dosage. It's
right. It's
not like when you're younger and shrooming and drinking a pitcher full of blended orange juice.
Right,
you know?
Right. Yeah, it's not the same as that at all. But it is very popular and it's trending
now. Yes, it is. Absolutely.
There's a lot of people, you know, suggesting it for anxiety and stress, as well as what I would have to assume is what I always thought of when I was younger, like expanding your mind and opening your mind. I didn't feel that part of it, but and I personally didn't feel much of it, but I think I was expecting more.
Probably, yeah.
But then again, we were probably hanging out by the pool and drinking and stuff. So, but anyways, magic mushrooms. That might be a way for you to help in microdosing.
Manage stress,
to manage stress and anxiety. And the ones that we received were actually in capsule form. Mm-hmm. So they were already pre-measured to a specific dose.
Right.
And I have heard of people and people have reached out that have said that they take it every day to go to work. And I was like, before I took it, I was all appalled. And I'm like, oh, they do it before they go to work. And how is that possible? But with the limited effects that I feel now, I can see how they would do that. But it's up to you. It's a personal choice. And do you do it before you go to work? I did it on the weekends first.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I ever did it before I went to work. But it is something that a lot of people have experienced, you know, a relief from anxiety and good results. But what I thought was very, very interesting, and I'd never heard this before, and anxiety, I just feel like the world we live in these days is just so anxiety ridden, right? Like, how do you not?
Right.
I mean, maybe you don't watch the news, which is what I do.
Yeah, I think, too, we're just overstimulated.
Yeah, very much overstimulated.
I mean, between, you know, the phones and the computers and just everything going on all around.
Yeah.
And I think the phone is, like, a huge thing.
Oh, I do, too.
You know, because you always have it next to you.
Right.
Because this is the way that everyone contacts me.
Yes.
And then there's also the social media that, you know, I like to play a game on my phone when I, you know, have nothing else to do. You know, it's like constantly looking at that. So I just really think that we're just overstimulated. It's okay to be in a quiet place with no sound, no phone, just leave it in the other room, you know.
And I feel that I crave that.
Mm-hmm.
When, like, you know, usually Sundays or when the kids all come over and the grandkids and we all have either a family brunch or a family dinner, and my children's phones pinging all the time
constantly
creates anxiety for me. And I'm like, how do you manage that? Yeah. Like, I just can't. But this is something that I'd never heard of. It's easy. Anyone can do it anytime, anywhere. Humming.
Oh.
Humming calms you down.
Interesting.
And calms down your nervous system.
Wow, I like that.
So, yeah. Not because we've talked about music before.
Right.
You know, to bring you to your happy place and, you know, etc. But humming.
Yeah, I like that.
Humming to, calms your nervous system and brings your anxiety level down. I know, I kind of like that too. I thought that was very simplistic, right? You know, but there's just so many different hacks. Under eye bags, this is a good one.
Oh, I need this.
Two cold spoons.
Oh, yes, I've tried that.
Yeah, does it work? Mm-hmm. Do you like it? Okay, for the instant, the bags, just put a couple spoons maybe in your freezer for a little while. And
yeah,
then
it doesn't.
Rub them.
It doesn't happen as much as it used to. I feel like as I'm getting older, I'm kind of. I still have terrible allergies, but I feel like I'm kind of growing out of them a little bit.
Oh, good.
But when I was younger, they were so bad. And I mean, I would just, my eyes would get really itchy and puffy. And so it's also actually, it felt really good to have cold spoons, you know, because of that itchiness and burning sensation from my allergies. But it definitely helps the puffiness. Absolutely.
Well, let's see. Let's wrap it up with a few more quick tips. So grounding, otherwise known as earthing our bodies.
Yeah.
Feeling the earth. Like, take off your shoes and walk on the grass.
Walk through the grass or the dirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Improves sleep, reduces pain, reduces stress, speeds wound healings, which I never would have thought of. Yeah, that was something different.
Hmm.
And reduces viscosity, which is the thickness of your blood.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, if you're getting older, maybe you need blood thinners or what have you, but maybe just take your socks off and your shoes and walk through.
I walk barefoot all summer
the
long.
Grass, yeah. Sauna time, right? It's just all about a good sweat. And if you don't have a sauna, come to Phoenix in the summer. You'll sweat it all out, but it's
not
really
quite
one
humid,
of the best.
But
yeah, it's not humid, but that's what a sauna is, right? It's that dry heat.
I guess it
takes it out of you.
Yeah.
But it removes toxins from your body, and something that's always ever so important, like we talked about with your health and your diet and your exercise, which are the three staples of midlife. Hydration.
Oh,
hydrate, and maybe include some watermelon. Or cucumber juice or electrolyte packages like liquid IV or something into your water. What I thought was interesting and that I never attributed to dehydration, which so many things I attributed to, is brain fog.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
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 It's much worse when you're dehydrated. And of course, for your skin, dry skin brushing.
Brushing?
Yeah. So you take a stiff bristle, large brush.
Mm-hmm.
And with long strokes towards the heart, brush your skin. Proves not only the look and feel of your skin, circulation, detoxification, fat tissue, unclogs pores, exfoliates, and possibly even helps reduce cellulite. There you go.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I like
it. We appreciate you tuning in with us today, talking about these midlife health hacks and tips and tricks. If you have any that you'd like to share with us, please reach out on any of our social platforms or our website at Let's Talk Midlife Crisis. And that just about wraps it up for today. Thank you for joining us on Let's Talk Midlife Crisis. Embrace the change.
Join the conversation on our website at letstalkmidlifecrisis.com or our Facebook or Instagram and YouTube channels. We'd love to hear from you guys.